Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we continue on a theme this week of taking up the passages, the gospel readings the church has given us, and all of them focus on the Lord warning his people to be awake, to be watchful, to be alert, to strive after the kingdom of God, to help each other do that. And we see in the teaching of Jesus, what St. Paul describes in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, is the kindness and the severity of God. And this week, we get a real taste primarily of the severity of God, that is the discipline of the Lord, the hard sayings of Jesus. And we get a sense of how important it is to him that we hear and understand what the stakes are that we're facing in this life. And that we're his people, the church is his people, living in a fallen world that's literally at a very deep level resisting God. It's fundamentally set in much of its focus, its energy, its some of its politics and its economics and its social and its cultural and its volitional forces that are present in the fallen dimension of this good earth that God created. We really are live in the midst of a very serious and real daily spiritual battle. And the powers that are present here, the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan, the powers of the world of flesh and the devil, are set against the Lord and against the kingdom of God, the reign of Jesus, his authority as the king, as the Lord of all, set against his teaching, the holiness that he calls us to and that he demands that the apostles are teaching us to walk in. And it requires spiritual combat on a daily basis. And Jesus warns us time and again. First verse, he spoke so directly to the religious leaders. You know, day after day, it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, he spoke very strongly the seven woes against the Pharisees, which were curses, an Old Testament way of cursing somebody for the way that they're living. And so, very dramatic. In fact, I don't remember the last time I heard that series of encounters that Jesus had with the Pharisees talked about at Mass on Sunday. I don't remember those readings, but I'm sure they're there. Because I think it's important for us to hear Jesus and to see Jesus and how serious he is about sin, how serious he is about sin and his leaders, and how serious he is about each one of us taking responsibility for our lives and under the grace and power of the Holy Spirit to be awake and to be alert, to be watchful, and to help others not fall asleep. Make sure we don't fall asleep. Today's reading, the first reading, is from the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And the same kind of theme is present here in Paul's teaching. He says, "Brothers and sisters, we earnestly ask and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us, how you should conduct yourselves to please God, and as you are conducting yourselves, you should do even more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." So Paul is echoing the teaching that we've heard from Jesus this week, and in particular, yesterday, reflecting on the beautiful witness of John the Baptist, who was beheaded because he had the courage to stand up to the king and tell the king he was living in adultery. And the woman that he was living with, his brother's wife, was not happy about it. And in the end, she and her daughter had influence over the king. And he got himself in a situation where he promised the daughter whatever she wanted, up to half of his kingdom. And she insisted, through her mother's prompting, for the head of John the Baptist. And because of his own ego, his own pride, his own lust, and the rest of it, the king was trapped. And he did just that. And John the Baptist was willing to be not only ostracized or to be mocked or to be ridiculed, but to literally lose his life. And he was willing to speak to the king about the king's condition. Herod was Jewish, and he should have known better. But like so many even within the church who are baptized, we should know better, but we just decide we're going to live in habit patterns of sin because we want them, we want to walk in them, and we're rolling the dice. And when those decisions are made, the pressure today in particular especially around all things sexual, you know, all the big sexual issues of the day, the sexual revolution and its wider cultural pressure, is forcing Catholics to just be quiet, even within their own families. Like, for example, so many young people today who are raised Catholic, some even call themselves Catholic, not married, decide to live together and decide to not walk in the teaching of the church, or the teaching of Jesus, because, well, we love each other and we can't afford it and all the different reasons. And then there's great pressure to never say anything to them about it. That's not what Jesus would do. And that's not what Paul would do. Listen to Paul. He goes on, he says, "This is the will of God, your holiness, that you refrain from immorality, that each of you know how to acquire a wife for himself in holiness and in honor, not in lustful passion, as do the Gentiles who do not know God." Well, what does that mean? That we follow the customs that we used to know this. People didn't all do it perfectly, but the church was wise and had courtship customs. The culture had them, and we protected, you know, knowing the passions and knowing how easy it is to commit fornication, which is profoundly offensive to God in the context of dating and the rest of it, without being really careful. Paul is saying, hey, be careful. The Gentiles take a different approach to this. Paul knew and understood in Thessaloniki and other places, you know, there was a lot of sexual perversion that was present. And Paul is saying, no, remember who you are. And remember how sacred this is, this marriage thing, and what God calls you to. Remember, you need to please the Lord. And Paul's saying, look, with earnestness and with passion, I'm exhorting you to do what pleases God. Conduct yourself in a way, he said, that pleases God. The stakes couldn't be higher. He says, don't do what the Gentiles do, those who don't know God. You know God. He said, so act differently. He goes on to say, not to take advantage of or exploit a brother or sister in this matter, for the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you before, and now we solemnly affirm. I mean, Paul couldn't speak in more dramatic language about this. He goes on, he said, for God did not call us to impurity, but to holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not a human being, but God, who also gives his Holy Spirit to you. So everyone who's baptized into Christ is given the gift of the Holy Spirit, become a temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in us. And if we act outside what Paul is saying, we give into fornication or we decide to live in adultery, whatever, pornography, all these things, he says, we're defiling the temple. Now, we're in a particularly challenging time, friends, because the culture is just wide open about this stuff. It pushes it, it exalts it, it just simply assumes that there's nothing wrong with it. And then the consumer side of it, the whole market is pushing pornography and the rest of it because it's so lucrative, leading people into slavery to sin and to lust. And the baptized, if we're not careful, we don't fight against it, and we're not seeking to walk in this way, it's easy to fall into these things. And so lots of young people, you know, young people from good families whose parents would not have done this and they don't want their children to do it, just deciding, hey, it's my life. And we're going to live together, and we're going to live together as long as we want to, and we might get married someday. We may not get married someday. We don't know. But what they're doing, and this is, I'm speaking maybe to them if you're listening to the program, but if parents in this situation are listening to the program, be strengthened by Paul. Listen to what Paul's saying. You know in your heart it's a matter of holiness and that they're living in immorality. You can't force them to separate. But think about John the Baptist and his willingness to speak to King Herod and to lose his head over it, to call Herod out of adultery because he was offending the holy God. And that's the worst place a human being could possibly be. We as parents and as adults need to summon the courage and know, as Paul says, that the Holy Spirit lives within us. And know we can't force anybody to do something. God's given them free will. But if we're parents, friends, family, we ought to seek the time, seek for a time when, and pray and ask for God's help when we can challenge those that we love to help them see clearly what they're doing is offending God. And if they say, Well, you know, no, we're not, because we love each other. Well, yes, we are, because sex is meant to happen in the context of committed, loving relationship in marriage, period. And they're willing to say that because that's how the culture looks at it. And what's happened is the world begins to lay hold of us, and we begin to take on the thinking and the habit patterns of the world around us, because they're common, because they're affirmed, they're even rewarded, they're thought as normal. And the calling of Christ, the words, the teaching of Jesus, and the church are mocked in this area and laughed at. They're considered impossible to be able to live and oppressive and wrong. And then, of course, people in those positions more and more take up the silliness and the argument of the world that says, you know, don't judge me. You can't judge me. If you loved me, you wouldn't judge me. It's wrong to judge. No, and they'll even quote the Bible and say, you know, Jesus said, don't judge. Well, yeah, Jesus says, don't judge in the wrong way, but he tells us all over the place, first with his own example, and the example of the apostles, and also the teaching that we need to judge rightly. You can't judge a person's heart, but you can judge behavior. And it's right to be able to say, living with someone, if you're not living in chastity, if you're not living in purity, it's unwise to put yourself, it's a near occasion of sin to say, okay, we're going to live together, but we're not going to engage in sexually immoral behavior. Well, that's going to take a kind of Hercules-type level of strength and some real holiness to make that happen. It's a very unwise thing to do. Plus, it communicates something that you don't want to communicate. It's a kind of, can communicate a sort of scandal. But the big thing is, you're putting yourself in a near occasion of sin. And many people who are living in that situation have just decided, we're going to live this way because we love each other. And because we love each other, it's okay to say with our bodies whatever we want to say to each other. That's not the teaching of Christ. And people don't realize that it's deeply offensive to God. It doesn't matter if you say, well, I feel this way and I feel good about it. Disciples of Jesus and Christians don't live by their feelings. They live by the truth that comes from Christ. Jesus spoke the truth. That's why he was killed. We have to get over the fact. We have to get over the fear, of people not liking us or of our own kids getting upset with us. I'm not saying you have to break the relationship, but in some way, in some moment, they need to be challenged in that situation. You need to do what God's calling you to do. And the fear of the Lord, which is healthy fear, not slavish fear, it's the healthy fear of the holy God that gives us wisdom and courage to live the truth under the guidance and the help of the Holy Spirit and to speak the truth in love. They will be harmed for the decisions that they're making if they put themselves in that situation. Just like Herod was being harmed by living in adultery, sleeping with his brother's wife. That's why a holy man warned him and chastised him for it, so that he would come out of it and he would not die in his sin. Because if you die in your sin, you die in mortal sin. The teaching of Scripture and the church is clear. That's the one thing you don't ever want to have happen. And you never know when you're going to die. And what a horrible legacy to leave to children, potentially, in the future. In your family. It's a spiritual reality we need to get serious about and to walk in and take the example of John the Baptist and the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.